Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Time now for us to return to our Budweiser from the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And it is an absolute pleasure to welcome back in Fox 8's very own John Telich. JT, so great to have you back on board. How are you today?
I'm doing just fantastic, Bull. And, you know, I'm excited about the prospects of sports kind of starting to get a little bit of momentum and move forward. And obviously there's tons of obstacles ahead, but it's a good feeling to know that things are starting to progress. So let's see if they can keep things moving in a very orderly fashion as we go forward.
And hopefully we will have lots of positive news to discuss on that front in the coming months. Today we'll cover the NFL's overall plan, some major challenges facing Kevin Stefanski and company, the expectations for Baker Mayfield. We'll also get into some general thoughts on the league as far as the opt-outs are concerned, and we'll also talk about some potential fan participation as well as some high school football talk as well. But JT, let's begin with the NFL's overall plan of attack with this whole pandemic. We've heard some talk about the bubble. Should there be a bubble? Shouldn't there be a bubble? What are your thoughts on how you think they should proceed with this moving forward?
Well, initially I thought the only way that any sports league can go forward now is to do a bubble. And the prime example of that is the NBA, and they're starting their games on the 30th. That's tomorrow. So far their plan seems to be working very, very well. Now, it's a smaller league, fewer players. It's still a contact sport in terms of guys getting real close to each other, so there is that worry there. But they've been able to mitigate whatever stressors there may be, societal, by having everybody in the same place and protocols and re-protocols and so on and so forth to keep people as safe as possible, all the way to the point where they're shaming a guy who went to get wings someplace, you know, and may have brought something upon the rest of his teammates. So I think that's the best way you do it. I just don't know that you could do any kind of a bubble situation with the National Football League Bowl, because you're looking at 32 teams. You're looking at, you know, camps beginning with 80 players this year because they're a little bit smaller. No preseason games. They're kind of kicking the can down the road in terms of players from one team having any contact with players from another team by not having any preseason games. And so in some ways, they've got their own mini bubbles going on for the next 6 weeks. And that would be in Berea, Ohio for the Browns, and obviously in each home facility for the teams around the league. That's the closest thing to a bubble. But once they get out on the road, once they're traveling, once they're on that field with other people from other teams and whatever issues those teams bring in, then that's where it's kind of unwieldy. So I think the NFL, you know, you see those freighters that come up the Cuyahoga River and they make that turn at Collision Bend, and you think, how in the world is like a 700-foot-long freighter going to make this turn? And that's the way I kind of think about the NFL. It's such, if they had a bubble, it would be this gigantic freighter. It wouldn't be nimble enough, I think, to be able to handle something that's insidious as this virus can be. But then you also look at some of those freighters on the Cuyahoga, and it's masterful how they turn up and down that crooked river that is the Cuyahoga. And so that's what I think we've got to give the NFL enough leeway here in this instance to show that it can be nimble, that it has all the protocols in place, that it can have contact tracing in place at their facilities and continue to have testing and then retesting and then the third test in order to even gain access to the building. So I guess we have to give them the benefit of the doubt because they really have. I listened in earlier today to Dr. James Voos, the head physician for the Browns, and also Joe Shaheen. He's kind of like the head trainer and the performance guy for the Browns organization. And they spoke of all the protocols in place and how they have not just, been living in quote unquote the NFL bubble, doing it our way or the highway. they have listened to the other leagues. They've listened to what the NBA has done. They've had some talks with teams in the National Football League. Obviously, they're very much collaborative with their players' association, with J.C. Tretter being the president, the Brown Center. So it's an unwieldy kind of a thing, but, you know, people want this to happen. Fans want to see football. There's enough optimism, I think, so far that they're just going to continue down the road here, and we'll see if, you know, they can be safe throughout this next 6 weeks and then be ready to play their first games in the second week of September.
I love the example of the 700-foot freighter, so we're going to go ahead and stick with that. The Browns' 700-foot freighter right now is stationed in Berea, and the captain of that ship, of course, is first-year head coach Kevin Stefanski. He faces a number of big challenges going into his first year as a head coach, JT, including these new camp logistics.
It's really going to be crazy because, you know, I remember when he first got the job and then, you know, then not long after he got the job, it's February, and then we're starting to hear some noise about the COVID. And then we get into early March when things really, quote unquote, hit the fan, if you will. And here's a guy who's a rookie head coach. He's not going to have a chance to have any kind of camp, no mini camps, no OTAs, no nothing. All we're going to find out what kind of a Zoom coach he is come September 13th when they open up the season against a very difficult foe. It's a huge hurdle, not just because he was a rookie coach, but it's a new system for him, for his players. It's a whole different way of doing things for a lot of the guys that are in this offense, and certainly he has put together a staff. They've got tremendous talent on the offensive side of the football, but that has to mesh. That's got to be cohesive. And I don't know how you do it in this new world of social distancing and trying to limit as much contact that you can have in practice. And, I mean, you know, the first 2 weeks here, they're barely going to be doing any football stuff as it is, whereas normally by late July, they are full on blocking, tackling, you know, scheming, and going through their daily routines. And it's going to be a ramp up period. And obviously, everybody's in the same boat, 700 foot freighter in the National Football League, but everybody's in that same boat and has to do things the same way. But I think it puts him at a little bit of a disadvantage because he's a rookie coach and he's got a new system. So we're going to see what kind of a choice the Browns made in hiring Kevin Stefanski. All indications are this guy has all that is needed to be successful, but, you know, we still have to see that take place on the practice fields, and also we have to see it come September.
Again, we're speaking with Fox 8's very own John Telich on our Budweiser's From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. All right, JT, I think it goes without saying that this is a huge year for Baker Mayfield in his third season. Got to ask, I mean, do you think he's feeling some of the pressure physically? He certainly looks a lot better than he did when he reported to camp a year ago. He also has a ton of tools at his disposal. I mean, this is going to be a huge year for him, no question.
It certainly will, and I think he's got the right attitude. We had a Zoom session with him a couple of months ago. It seems like it's been forever, but and he really appeared to be very humble, very on task. He's not been crazy out there in social media. He hasn't been out partying. Of course, who has in this COVID world we're living in? But he looks like he's in great shape. He has a new offensive system. He's got a lot of new toys. Austin Hooper is a great get for the Browns. He obviously has two outstanding receivers in Jarvis and Odell, and they've got the third guy in Hollywood Higgins and some of the other guys that they have in camp. And he's got one of the top players in the entire league in Nick Chubb, and then supplementing him is Kareem Hunt. All the things necessary to be successful, but most importantly, I think it's the scheme. It's the scheme that's going to allow him to do more play action, to be more successful in finding his targets and getting the football to them in a quick manner, whereas I just don't think, and everybody, it certainly was well documented, we spoke about it every week when we did these shows, it just never looked cohesive on the offensive side of the ball four of those guys last year, and it was so mind-boggling because this was the same Freddie Kitchens from the previous year who was calling the plays in the back end of that campaign where Baker looked like an all-world quarterback. But a lot of things were missing. A lot of things have changed. He's got a veteran quarterback to be right behind him to assist him, and I think Baker is mature enough and has learned enough to understand that Case Keenum is going to be a great asset, a great person to lean on, and someone that can keep him on his toes, which I think was another one of the reasons why he was picked up. I don't think they just brought him here to hold a clipboard and not do anything. I think he's an accomplished NFL quarterback that's got the resume that could step in if need be, or at least, you know, give them an option if Baker is having a rough time. But I think you'll see a different guy this year. Absolutely 100% different quarterback in what Baker Mayfield can do this year.
Well, the hope is he'll have plenty of tools on offense. It certainly sounds like he's going to, but right now we're in an interesting time in that you're seeing a lot of guys begin to opt out. Now, these league-wide opt-outs, I think, something we kind of expected with the Browns. Anything you're hearing, anything you anticipate in the coming weeks? Because I think every team's going to be affected differently by this.
The only news we know about Browns and COVID, if you will, were the two guys whose names were placed in that COVID/reserve list, and that's Dontrell Hilliard and Javonte Moffitt. Those two guys, they either tested positive, which we don't know for a fact, or they came in contact with someone who has COVID-19 and they're on this list. So that's all we know. Today, both Joe Sheehan and also Dr. Vooz were asked about the opt-out aspect of any of the Browns. And apparently, league-wide right now, the number is roughly 25 guys with, as you know, many of those guys on the New England Patriots. There's like six or seven guys that opted out that are on Belichick's roster. So we know there's 25 league-wide. We know that number will be shifting in the next few weeks. I'm sure you're going to have some guys that will come in and be all gung-ho, and then maybe other issues will crop up with their family or with their loved ones, or maybe they'll have a change of heart. We don't know. And so we could have individuals discussing things as they move along here in the next few weeks with the Browns hierarchy, with Joe, with the doctor, with the medical professionals, and maybe, and obviously with J.C. Treader, the union prez, and maybe they come to the realization that they indeed are going to opt out. But we don't know anyone publicly as we stand here on a Wednesday at the end of July that there's anybody on the Browns that's saying, I'm opting out, you know, I'm done for the year. So, and you know what, a lot of people are like ridiculing like Hightower of the Patriots. He stood to make $8 million this year. And he's walking away from that. I know they get a certain figure, depending on the situation, from the league. But he's decided to opt out, and he's doing it for all the reasons he believes are the best reasons, family health, newborn baby, all of these things. And so, you know, you have to give someone credit for that, much less not scorning him because he's turning out away from $8 million. It's just it's making people make very uncomfortable and difficult choices. And as we stand here today, I'm just not sure if anybody that's on the Browns roster at this moment has discussed anything with the Browns or if anything has been decided that a certain player is opting out. So far, no one that we know of.
We're speaking with Fox 8's very own John Telich on our Budweiser's From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Well, JT, another big question that pops up is, will this game be seen by fans in the seats? We've heard a lot from different franchises. Different colleges have come up with different ideas that they think will work in the fall time, and it's going to be really fascinating to see how this plays out in early September and beyond. But what are you expecting as far as fans attending games?
Well, I know today Dr. Vooz was asked about that, and so far as we know, the Browns, there's no policy through the Browns. That also would be in connection with, you know, health department officials, the state, the governor, you know, a lot of different entities that would have a hand in making a determination that, yeah, you can have 10% of your stadium filled with fans or however you want to do it. And so as we stand right now, they plan on having football played but not having any fans. Now, that could change. It's a long season. The nature of how the virus is being handled on a state-by-state and national level is certainly you know, up for examination day by day. We look at those numbers in the corner of the screen on some of the national networks, and it's disconcerting to look at it and to see like where we're at right now in terms of the amount of deaths and the people that have been infected. But right now, although I'm certain there are protocols that are being discussed in getting chiseled in stone for the folks in Berea, there's nothing known publicly like, yeah, they'll allow 20% or 25% of the stands, they will let fans come in. Right now, nothing on a public level has been issued regarding the Browns.
Well, transitioning into some high school football talk here, JT. Last year, we had a lot of fun doing this at the end of our conversations. And this year, nobody really knows what's going to happen with high school football here in Ohio. There are some other states that are proceeding and they're moving forward as if, you know, they feel like they've got everything put in place. Protocols are locked in. Other states are saying, nah, we're going to pump the brakes on this a little bit and push things back. But with Ohio, we're still kind of up in the air at this point. What kinds of things are you hearing about high school football moving forward?
Well, so far as we know, the OHSAA yesterday came out and said there will be no scrimmages for any contact sports, and contact is determined to be like football and soccer. I think they even have cross country as a contact sport because, you know, they're clumped together so close when they start races, but obviously they thin out. But any of those contact sports, they will not allow scrimmages. That would be school versus another school this year. And so I liken that, I don't say I like it, I say I have that's similar to kind of how the NFL is proceeding. The NFL, by not having preseason games, that, in essence, is saying these glorified scrimmages, which are preseason games, we will not have. You'll stay in your own bubble there in Berea and try to keep everybody safe until September 13th when you take the field against the Ravens. And that's right now the stance that the state is taking. No scrimmages. So, you know, St. Ignatius can't scrimmage, can't McKinley, and vice versa. And that also means that the kids at the school, August 1st is still on the docket as the first day of practice for the fall sports, football being the most predominant of the football sports, that still stands. And so teams are readying themselves for that likelihood. There's the unfortunate case of, like, the Cleveland Public Schools, Cleveland Municipal School District, has basically pulled the plug because they're going to be in remote learning for 9 weeks up through October. Excuse me. And so their CEO has said, if kids can't come to school and they're getting remote learning, then we can't have sports. And so they will not be able to. They've been told any of their off-season conditioning programs are going to have to be cut off come the 31st. That's Friday. That also means on August the 1st, Glenville or John Marshall or whomever, they will not be able to have any football practice. They basically won't have football this fall, even while there still is the possibility that, you know, Elyria Catholic could, or Midview could, or Euclid could, or Ignatius or Eds or whomever. So that's where we stand on that. And I don't know, as I stand here today, what factors will come in that will cause the state to say no high school sports anywhere in the state. I just don't know, because as we stand right now, you've got the Cleveland schools. They've affected teams that are supposed to play them because they won't have those games. I think the first game of the year Euclid might be playing against was supposed to play against Glenville. And so you've got those instances there. But, boy, it's kind of an unwieldy thing, Paul. And I think I give all the credit in the world to all the coaches throughout Northeast Ohio and throughout the state that have really done everything by the book, trying to get their kids to be socially distanced, have the kids wear masks, have them do the training protocols, the cleaning, and the separation from each other. And they don't, you know, that virus has its own agenda as well. You know, it would be easy if you could just say, virus be damned, if you will, and just full speed ahead. But we're talking about the safety of kids. And by virtue of kids potentially getting infected, then that could be parents and that could be grandparents. And so I understand the caution. But right now, as we stand here today, August 1st, they still plan on having fall practices commence in the state of Ohio.
And these next few weeks will be very interesting. It seems like every week we get a different answer. It'll be an adventure, and hopefully it'll be a fun one and a full one for us to follow between now and the end of December. JT, we appreciate the time, as always, my friend. Great catching up. Looking forward to doing these every single week through the end of the Browns season, and we look forward to doing it again next week.
Sounds great, buddy. I'll talk to you then.
Thank you, JT. Again, that's John Telich with Fox 8 joining us on the Budweiser From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We need to break. Rocco Nucci and I will come back after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.